Hour number two on a rainy Wednesday here in our Music City, here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. Tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 and everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It'll be the Predators and Barry Trotz and company and the New York Islanders. Big win for them last night. I was watching against the Flyers, and with that being said, a guy we loved being around in his long time here in Nashville, Barry Trotz is indeed on the line with us. Barry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We were talking at the beginning of the show. I said, I'm sitting there watching your game, and I'm thinking, you guys were up 3-0. Philadelphia comes battling back, and they get the late goal. I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Flyers are going to get at least a point out of this. And what do you guys do? Turn around and just blast one in with about 35 seconds to go, and that was a big win.
Yeah, it was. Both back-to-back, obviously. We went into Washington and got a big win in Washington and then came back home. We had some travel difficulties after the Washington game, got in real late, and then had to go out to Barclays and play the Flyers, who have been playing really well, and got a big win. So, the last 24 hours has been really two solid wins for us. So now we've got a little bit of a road trip here. Obviously, we're going to Nashville, on to Vegas, Arizona, Colorado. So it'll be a big trip for us going ahead here because the Metro Division's a bear this year.
No doubt about it. So I watched your game until it concluded. And then I started watching the Ducks and the Blues, and it was 1-1, and I got distracted with something else. And the next thing you know, I wasn't watching anymore. And so I didn't know until it had already happened. And quite honestly, the Jay Bouwmeester that happened last night on the bench, and they ended up canceling the game, I thought of, what was it, 05, when you guys were playing the Red Wings, Yuri Fisher, when that happened and the game was canceled. That's the first thing I thought of when I got word that that had happened.
Yeah, I just I saw the video that's been out there with Bo. I had the opportunity to work with Bo in some Team Canada events, and he is a terrific athlete, terrific player. And you see a player sitting there and then all of a sudden just collapsing on the bench. And it's sobering because of the fact that these athletes are not only in great shape and, you know, playing a physical sport, but the reality of someone having a cardiac event, which could close a life for a young man who is in fantastic shape and his family. And we are very fortunate that all rinks and all teams have just the best professionals. I know Ray Borelli in St. Louis is fantastic, and they got Jay stabilized and got him to the hospital, and they get the from all accounts, he should be okay, but it's too early to know. I have no more facts than probably anybody else, but it is very sobering when you are in the middle of a game and an event like that. All the rest, everything around you doesn't matter if you're worried about that person and his family.
Yeah, no doubt. In fact, we were kind of – I brought that one up, then Willie brought up the – and I'd forgot about it until he brought it up, the Rich Peverly, and I know – you coached him, but this was after he had left here. I think it was when we were thinking it was when he was in Dallas, but I think that kind of ended his career. And Rich really turned around things after leaving here. But I think that happened to him as well.
Yeah, no, it did. Richie was a you're so fortunate that you're in a position where you have doctors and trained medical staff right there. Because you know anybody who's had a heart condition or had a stroke or anything like that, it's a matter of seconds, a matter of minutes, and we're fortunate that we're surrounded by those type of people that can save your life in that moment. And last night, it looked like that was the case.
Former Predators head coach, now New York Islanders head coach Barry Trotz on the line with us. And Barry, you've been doing this for a very long time, and so you've had to cross this bridge before as the head coach, and I had seen, and we talked about it on the show, that you had sent a pretty strong message to one of your superstars in Barzell that you weren't happy with some things that were going on, And John Hines is doing that right now with some of his better players, with, you know, pulling back with their ice time, and he's trying to send a message to them as well. How tough is it to do that? Like, it's one thing to do it to a fringe guy or a guy, you know, that's a bottom six, but when you have to send a message to a top guy or a guy who's even part of your leadership group, how do you – it's a delicate balance, right, as a head coach?
It is. It's all personality related. I mean, in our situation, I have a young player who's going to be terrific. And it's just understanding the mindset that you have to have in certain situations during the game. And it is a black and white situation. And if you're unwilling to, I'll say, take responsibility for any black and white situations, there's no gray there, then you got to send a harder message. Today's coaching is a lot different than it was years ago. I mean, with the guaranteed contracts and you've got players that are 6-7 year deals making, you know, $7-9 million a year. And the only thing that you really do have is ice time. You have a relationship and trust, and you have ice time. And if the relationship and trust is not working, or the encouragement and the teaching part is not working, then the only thing you have is ice time and as a coach. And so you either got to stand by your principle, or if you don't, then the player walks all over you, and it has an effect on your team. So to me, there's certain rules. You know, the coaching's not about equality. It's about actually inequality. No one gets the same ice time, the same responsibilities, but the one thing that has to be, in my opinion anyways, is the certain rules have to apply to everybody. You can't have certain rules that, you know, show up when you want because you're a superstar, and because you're a fringe player, you have to be on time. Those type of things are black and white. There is no cut and dry. And if everybody understands the rules, I mean, players to me in every sport want structure and they want rules. And once they understand the rules, they're fine. Some players, when they feel that there should be special rules, sometimes I think, especially in hockey, maybe in some other sports it works, but I know in our game it does not. So I'm not a big believer in that.
Barry Trotz is with us, head coach of the New York Islanders. They'll be taking on the Predators tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And Trotzy, I want to ask you about team defense in this current state of the NHL. The league wants higher scoring. They love the lead changes. It's getting harder and harder to hold teams under 3 goals a night. But you guys seem to give yourselves a chance most nights with really good team defense. How hard is it to do that these days with the way they call the game, et cetera?
It's really hard, and it's really hard for a couple of reasons. The player's individual skill level is increased. Our game is not in a it's the skill level in the game is higher than it's ever been. In terms of the use of the stick to defend, you can't use it as much. So it's all about positioning. It's all about straight lines, the defending. It's all about pride and work ethic, if you will, and what I call protocols in certain situations. And then you try to win those individual battles when they are there. And then you've got to get some good goaltending and some high commitment. And if you do that, you have a chance to defend. And if you have a chance to defend in this league, you have a chance to win games. And the offensive part of the game, there's so many good teams. They can make plays that only one or two guys on a team could make. Maybe 10 years ago, you've got five or six guys that can make those plays. And the skill level and the speed of the game is tremendous. And it's evolved. Guys shoot it harder because of the technology, the training, all the things that go into.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost Coach there for a second.
Let's put him on hold, Elijah. Let's see
if check if he's still there.
Yeah, he got zapped. That was a good answer.
Yeah, it is hard to defend, and they actually got a win the other night in Washington, and that's the next thing I want to ask him because, you know, everybody was home. Washington, a guy that he coached for a long time. Let's get Barry back on there. I think we've got him. We got to put him on hold here.
Let's see. I think we got Barry you back.
Go. Okay, Trotsky, can you hear us?
Yeah, there you go. You went away on us. Sorry.
Sorry, we lost your second.
What's your last?
Well, you were talking about how tough it is to defend, and it was interesting. You know, just a couple of nights ago, you mentioned you guys got big back-to-back wins. Had to be interesting for you. You're taking on your former team, and Alex Ovechkin, one of the greats of all time, is closing in on 700 goals. If he had a big night, he could have hit that milestone. So what's it like to try to defend him, knowing him the way you do?
You know, you just hope to contain him. I mean, his window to get a shot off is so small. I mean, he is the greatest goal scorer that's ever played the game. I'll publicly say that. I've said it for years. And, you know, maybe down the road there will be someone greater than Alex. But Alex has done it for a long time. He's getting goals at his age, which is unprecedented. When Wayne Gretzky could get 97, when, you know, there was guys getting 60 and 70 a year. I mean, how he's translated a 50-goal season, you know, back in the 70s, those 50s would have been 70 or 80-goal seasons. So he's special to watch now. You're seeing a legend, you know, and I got a chance to coach a legend. As he's getting older and getting closer to that record, I appreciate it more and more because I saw it day in and day out. And he's going to get 700. And I said before the game, if he got 700 against us, I'd be totally okay with that. Because I've seen 500 and 600 when I was there, and getting to see 700 would be special as long as we won the hockey game.
Talking to Barry Trotz, New York Islanders head coach, of course, former Preds coach here with us. They'll take on the Preds tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And obviously, Barry, we're getting used to John Hines after David Poile made the coaching change about a month or so ago from Peter Laviolette. And I'm curious from your perspective of what it was like for you going from the Western Conference, being in this conference for 16 years, for so long with Nashville, and transitioning to the East. Is there a big transition between the two, or is it pretty seamless?
Well, I think in terms of the hockey, it's seamless because they're good hockey teams and all that. The biggest thing for me in the West versus the East, the travel in the East is so much better. I have to, without a doubt, it's the travel and wear and tear in their body is so much better. You know, for us, you know, I remember last year we came in, we had two road games in November. We had four road games in November. We had a Tampa, Florida trip, and then we had the Rangers in New Jersey. And you know, as you get older, the travel it really is beneficial for you, and that's why I think you see teams out east are fresher as the season goes on. Especially late in the season. So there's a big travel advantage in the East.
With John Hines coming in, obviously you played against him coaching in the East, both with Washington and the Islanders. David Poile, of course, said that, talking to Ray Shiro, Tom Fitzgerald, that was the connection there. But what can you tell us about John Hines and your interaction with him?
Well, you know, I didn't interact a lot with John, but I can tell you that his teams played with a lot of pace. Played with a tremendous work ethic, and they, you know, the one thing that they did is they stretched out a little bit, and he loves to play a 200-foot game with his team. You know, have really good balance offensively and defensively, and I think he's you know, from everything I've heard, and I've have one individual has worked with him, said he's tremendous to work with and has a tremendous work ethic on teaching the game and a great passion. So hopefully that translates in Nashville, and they can finish strong and get in themselves into the playoffs. And they've got a lot of talent there, and they'll be really dangerous if they do get in.
Barry, you've obviously done this a lot now since you left here. You've made the trip back, but is it still a little bit different whenever you come into Bridgestone Arena as the visiting coach?
It is. You know, a lot of water's gone under the bridge in terms of time. You know, obviously I was in Washington for 4 years now. This is my second year in New York. So, you know, from my standpoint, I love going back. I love the city. I love the people, a lot of friends. I think I've got a lot of friends that we're going to do dinner tonight. And my daughter still lives there, and I've got a lot of background there. But it's a normal game. It's not, you know, an emotional game or anything like that. It's, you know, the Nashville Predators are an opposition. I love my time there. I still have a lot of ties to the city, and I go back there when I can. So going back is like going back home. So it's really a fun time to go back, and I got to have more success in that arena than I've had with our team. So that's the only thing that could make it more enjoyable.
As we wrap this up, Barry, I think you were in Barclays last night, right? I think you were in Brooklyn last night.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to an even split, the Island and Brooklyn. Have you guys ever at least started going to the wrong arena? Maybe not, you know. Little confusing? I mean, how do you do that?
No, not at all. Actually, with when we are at the Coliseum, we're basically about not much more than a mile from our practice facility, which we practice, train, do all most of our meetings. And we never make that mistake usually when I go to Barclays, I take the 217 train in New York, right into Barclays Center, stop at a Starbucks, and walk right into the rink. So that's how I do that. And we have a car service that brings us back home after the game. So I never make that mistake to this point. But I think when the Belmont facility will be fantastic. It'll be about 15 minutes from our practice facility, right at Belmont Park. It's going to be spectacular. I've seen renderings of it, and I know a few coaches who don't mind the ponies or Eddie Olczyk on TV. They'll go there for the morning skate, and they might be there for the whole day.
Have you found a good sub place yet? I know you like the subs on game day.
You know what? We have. I've had to give that up. We're very fortunate. We have a couple of chefs that are full time with us, and we eat in our facility. So I do like a good sub once in a while, but I haven't had to do that on the island here.
Have they broke ground on your new place yet?
Yeah, no,
okay.
They have.
Okay.
They broke ground in the fall, so it's moving along very, very swiftly, and hopefully we get in there to start. We won't be in there next year, but the following year we should start there. So it should be, you know, just like anything, that the newest building's the biggest and the baddest building on the block type of thing. So that's just the evolution of, I'll say, the facilities in pro sports. So it should be really outstanding. And where it's located, it really connects, I'll say, the Queens, Long Island area, where, you know, our fan base is, and they're pretty passionate. So that should be just a perfect spot. Obviously, with the mass transit and all that, you can be anywhere on Long Island and get there. So it should be a real benefit to not only the organization, but for players and everybody involved, because it is going to be a fantastic facility. I could see it hosting everything from drafts to all-star games and all that because of the location and the facility itself.
That's awesome. Barry, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this as always, and we look forward to running into you tomorrow over at the arena.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right, that is Barry Trotz, New York Islanders head coach. Tomorrow night it'll be the Preds and the Islanders. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this Predators team. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.